Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
So I can't remember how the conversation came up, but I have a friend who's trying to sell me on something. He makes some valid points.
Okay.
He, over the past several years, I guess, at one point, they moved into a new house, and the wife was disgusted because the wallpaper that was in the restroom of the home, the bathroom of the home, was splattered.
And with what?
Stuff that splashes.
This is in one particular room of the house?
The bathroom.
Okay.
So, like, around the toilet, there was, you could just tell that that...
Bad shot.
Yeah.
Seems splat. Like such an easy shot.
I mean, well, come on.
Mathematically, it's a very, very easy shot. To
right, and it wasn't...
You should hit 100% of your free throws here.
Yeah.
Because I said something like that because... I said something like that, and you know, like, was it an aiming issue? Because the guy they bought their house from was older and all this stuff, and they actually bought it from like their great uncle or something like that. So, knowing that, I assume when you think great uncle, I think somebody who's 110 years old. So I just assumed he had an aiming issue, and they said no because of it was just a low toilet bowl, and if he had a, you know, all of his parts worked really well, so a good shot would cause some splashback. Some of that would get on the wallpaper. So
oh,
they
gross.
Yep.
Bull.
So they ended up stripping down that whole thing, and he by hand rebuilt the whole bathroom and put new wallpaper in, or I think they tiled it or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Well, he, at that time, because he did the bathroom by hand, he decided to start sitting down in that bathroom no matter what he had to do.
Because he had to repair the last guy,
right.
So he's not going to do that.
And that
himself.
Eliminates okay. All splashing possibilities.
Gotcha.
Right, you follow me so far?
Yes. Okay.
It seems like so much work.
Well, he now does it every time. With the exception of using a urinal in a public place, if he has to do one, make a number one,
mm-hmm.
Make the tinkles, he does he does it sitting down.
Really?
Every single time. And
see, that's the benefit of being a dude, is you don't have to.
Wouldn't that be a deal breaker for you guys? All right, so you're starting to date a guy, and you're into the intimate phase or whatever, and you accidentally pop in, and he's in the bathroom, and he's peeing while he's sitting down.
But, I mean, you wouldn't know what he's doing.
You wouldn't know at
first. You would
first.
Think he was doing...
You would think that he was having a private moment.
And then you'd think he was lying when he came out. It's like, really? No, I wasn't doing number two. I was doing number one. And
you're like, no.
Liar.
Liar.
So the he's actively, like, that conversation came up, and with the group of guys that was there, like, it's now he has tried to sell us on the merits of sitting down, and he does make valid points beyond that.
Oh, so you're tempted to be a
beyond the splash. Are you going to be a sitter?
Well, it's a brief bit of relaxation.
Oh,
like, you do get to just relax for, you know, 30 seconds, 45 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
It is neater. Like, there's no splash. There's no whatever. And he did say that there is, it virtually eliminates the possibility of, you know, the last couple drops ending up on your pants, you know, so you have the two, you have the little spot.
Let me ask a question. This is probably not an issue, but would there be an issue of, like, touching the water?
Yeah. Well, not my case.
Yes, ma'am.
Certainly not.
Jeff's like, I have the problem if it's snaking down that hole.
Yeah, we're going to have to get Carl and Kenny back in here to answer that. Because I think
you know what I'm saying, though? Like, depending on the potty and the water levels, it could be really disgusting.
It could be.
You take a little dip.
Then you could just be like washing in toilet water.
To me, it's less sanitary.
Then it becomes like a little jacuzzi.
Oh, God.
Gross.
To me, it's less sanitary than it is standing up. Because when you sit down, you're opening up all sorts of things to fly into you.
Right.
All right.
Look, you're arguing with the, whatever reason, there's five phone lines ringing right now. But they're...
Anybody getting them?
That'd
be a nice addition. That's cool.
There may be more merits to it that I'm not thinking of, but his thing, and I see his point. I have tried it, and I see his point.
You tried it.
So he talked you into it, and you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try to be open-minded. Right. Tonight, I'm going to piece it down.
I tried it for I don't know when I first mentioned this to y'all, but a couple weeks ago, whenever I tried it for one whole, I was in the process of trying it that week.
At home,
like the restaurant or restaurants.
No, if you go out, you use the urinal. I mean, God, the urinal's so great. It's just a big hole in the wall and you pee in it. That's great.
I know. I think it is one of the benefits to being a man is the fact that you can't pee completely standing up. There's not a whole lot to eat. You guys just do the shake. You don't have to deal with the toilet paper.
Well,
yeah,
awesome.
We don't do it by choice.
Or any of that.
But
I mean,
no
we don't sit down by
you,
choice.
You shake,
we don't have a choice.
But the thing is with the...
Are you going to start wiping every time?
It's possible that you... You can always end up with a couple drops in your pants. So that eliminates
really.
It.
I mean, so after your day long experience, what'd you think?
I went a whole week.
How'd it go?
It must not have
been so bad if you lasted a week.
Peeing sitting down.
I love it before
the
and after.
Of just sitting down to pee is actually really, really funny.
You could have said a lot of things to me this morning. I've really lost a little respect for you today.
Well, I'm not still doing it because what ended up happening.
But you wouldn't tell us you're still doing it, but you are.
I would tell you if it was a good experiment, but the problem is what happened to me is I would sit down and use that 45 seconds to bang out an email or something,
and you fall asleep,
and then I would just get distracted and next thing I'm text messaging people and I'm like whatever, but I'm just basically I'm sitting in a chair with my pants down.
Did you fall in yet from leaving the seat up?
Mm-mm. That is by the way a benefit because the seat's always down, so I never had to remember,
it goes against nature, friend. It goes against nature.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. I'm just saying it's not as bad as people make it out to be.
Hey, Michelle. Good morning. You're on Q100.
It's uncomfortable to do it on a urinal, but other than that.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I just had a comment. My husband, when we first got married, he had a few problems of splashing or whatever, and he was always in a rush. I mean, he took time to wash his hands, but he didn't take time to wash the toilet, so... I mean, I've told him he needs to sit down or scrub it. I don't care what he does when he's not at home. But he actually does sit down, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. And my son now, he does the same thing.
This is so awful. So you have demanded that your husband sit down to pee, and he does it.
Right.
This is awful.
Well, he makes a mess.
I clean constantly, and when I go behind him, I mean, he splashed the toilet or something. He didn't take time to wipe it off. Then he should either sit down
or tell him to be more careful.
No, you
shouldn't have to demand that your husband sit down to pee. And I'm so offended that he agreed to this.
Well, he wouldn't clean up after himself. And I don't understand.
You still want to have sex with that man?
I don't understand that I'm in
too much
of a rush to be able to hit the... It's like a woman in midstream just getting up and putting her pants on. I mean, you're in a rush that you can't finish peeing. Seriously?
I agree that he needed to clean it up. But the fact that she schooled him like he was her child.
And he's done it.
Punished him and he followed. She still has to sleep with that man.
But she also was cleaning up his urine.
She was frustrated from
cleaning up his urine. Clean up your own urine.
There are some things in every relationship. In both ways, there are some things in every relationship where you have got to draw a line in the sand.
Then clean your pee.
Or it doesn't have to be the pee line, whatever it is. If a guy demands something of you that thing, if your dude comes to you and says, okay, today you have to start peeing standing up. As a woman, I would think you'd say, no way. No. And you lose respect for the other person if they actually do it.
But she was doing it because he urinated all over the bathroom and she cleaned it up.
I would totally lose respect for him.
I can't even listen to Bert's argument because you eat Activia every morning. So.
Activia. Good morning, Susan. You're on Q100.
Yeah, I think this is a great tip for all moms of young boys, too. I mean, as demonstrated by the last caller, grown men can't aim and find the toilet. A three-year-old certainly can't. So rather than have pee all over my vanity and all over my bathroom. My little boy sits down to tinkle, and it works
sure you guys
really
are,
well.
Now,
that's how, boys learn how to potty train, is they sit before they stand. But then when they can handle it, they stand up.
So would that be 12 or 40? How old was that last caller's husband? I mean...
Yeah, well, he's a
little... just clean up after yourself, because I have the same issue with women who decide to straddle in public restrooms. Mm. Clean your pee. I mean, I don't understand why y'all are so nasty, and I don't understand why guys are so nasty. If you pee on the van, if you pee on the wall, if you pee on the seat, then clean it up.
Well, if you're having that many problems, you should go check out, talk to your doctor about Parkinson's. Because that's not, you're not, if you're making that sort
it's
of mess.
It's not like one of those things as a kid where you took the hose to it and in the backyard.
I am so curiously offended by
the wet willy thing.
I'm so offended on both parts of this conversation. I'm offended that, yes, guys can't just hit, clean up after yourself.
Yeah, clean
it's
your
a
pee.
Large hole. Yeah. You should be able to get your pee in.
Yes.
And the second part of it, the fact that she's teaching her son and is going to continue to teach her son, robbing him of that masculine thing that he's supposed to do, stand up and pee, as she's teaching him another way, is so offensive
and
to me.
And he's going to go to college and join a fraternity.
Oh,
I'm upset.
And all the guys are going to be like, what are you
doing, dude? I don't think men should sit and pee, but I do think they need to clean their pee. I mean, I think that you have to aim.
Agreed.
And because I'm with Jen, if we could pee standing up, hell yeah, we'd be
That'd
doing
be great.
It. Absolutely, we'd be
There's
doing it.
There's a responsibility
it.
On both sides.
There's no reason to do that, but just be clean.
I think
God's
men
sake.
Should be allowed to use a litter box like a cat.
Gross.
I think there should just be a big box of sand kept
in
the house.
I just had a visual of Jeff over poo pooing in a litter box.
Peeing in a litter box.
Can you see him sniffing on the ground and going in a circle? And then digging the hole.
Digging the hole with his nose in it and then finding his spot.
Ew. Then you got to cover it
then
up.
Then covers it up. And then he runs around the house at 100 miles an hour.
And I take off like my tail's on fire.
I'm assuming you would need a forklift to cover
it. I'm light as a feather. Yay!
All right. The woman that's teaching her kid that it's okay to pee sitting down is
Will you give it 3 days? Because it's not as bad. Just give it 3 days.
I won't do it.
Just give it three days.
Don't do it.
I'm not going to do it.
No. Just do it today, tomorrow, and then report back on Wednesday morning.
At this point in my life, there are very few things that still make me masculine. That is one of them. And I am not giving it up.
Good for you.
Here, Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Bert Show.
So I've got a question for parents that might be listening right now. And I know sometimes it's a little tough to get the phone started this early because you're in such a rush to get off. But if you have a couple of seconds here, my theory has always... At least my gut has always told me that when Hayden Hollis get old enough and they can start partaking in partying, that I would sort of hide my partying past from them. Just sort of, I'm not really sure why. I just didn't feel like they needed to know. Mm-hmm. And because it's really important to me that they don't party the way I do, mm-hmm. I didn't want them to have that nugget of well, you did it when you were a kid, so how can you come down on me?
Mm-hmm.
So then I read this survey a couple of days ago. And it says that kids actually could benefit from learning about their parents' past drug and alcohol abuse. And it made me start to rethink things. So I'm wondering if there are parents that are listening right now that have a 100% honesty policy with their kids about their past.
Going to call it Richard Heaney guy? I'm betting he does.
It's a little bit difficult to get around what he's done. But you are totally and completely honest about how you partied when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked to your children about it. It says 63%. Of the teens surveyed said they'd be more responsible regarding their alcohol and drug use if their parents were open about their own substance abuse.
Really? Hmm.
So you got it's saying you should consider coming clean about the whole thing. Survey says 64% of the teens admitted their parents had already detailed their past alcohol and drug use. Of those 64%, 95% gave their parents credit for their honesty on the matter. And among the parents surveyed, 63% said when they were teens, their own parents did not share details regarding their partying past also. Do you go full disclosure with your kids or do you hide your past?
I guess my first instinct is to not give full disclosure because that way, one, you don't want to get on that border of I'm your buddy and I'm just telling, mm-hmm. you know, we're friends instead of me being your disciplinarian.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, and like you said, Bert, to give them an excuse to say, well, if you did it, I can do it. Like what, you know, because then they'll challenge you. They're going to challenge you anyway. Then they're going to challenge, well, why is it that I have to not do it because you got to do it?
Isn't there some credibility there, though, if you say that, you know, I should be dead 9 times. I drank so much and I drove when I was in high school when I was drinking. So I know what you're going through right here. So call me when you're too drunk to drive. There aren't going to be any repercussions. Just call. I know. I've been there. I know. Isn't there some kind of credibility there?
I think if your kids know they're not going to get in trouble, if they're honest with you, is the greatest way to go. Because say Hayden did get himself stuck in a situation, and maybe it wasn't him, but it was a bunch of his friends, and he felt like, you know, peer pressure or whatever, and he really wanted to call you. But if he called you, mm-hmm. he knew he'd get grounded. Like, that's where you want him to make the decision to pick up the phone and call you. So however you get there, whether that is sharing your past or whether that is, you know, sort of offering that olive branch in one way or another, I think that's the decision you want him to make ultimately, right?
But do you have to disclose it to get to that point? Can't you just say it?
You just create a rule that if you're hammered or stoned, then you're not going to get in trouble. Which means if they did something just around that, you teach them that if they do something around the house, if they break an expensive vase, to quickly run to the liquor cabinet and drink up, then they'll never get in trouble for it. Dad, you said I'm hammered.
Hey, Curtis, good morning.
Look at me, Daddy.
Good morning, Bert Show.
Good morning, Curtis. What's going on?
Not much, buddy. We tell my kids everything. They know, my three boys know everything about my wife's past and my past. And I believe that it has helped because of the fact that when my youngest son decided that he was going to experiment with drinking and he got totally sloshed, that Sunday he came to his mother and told his mother everything. So I believe it does help.
So how in depth do you go? You tell them that you drank, you tell them that you smoked weed back in the day. Do you get really in depth if you were doing hard stuff, or do you sort of keep it as superficial as you can?
Everything. From smoking weed to getting caught having sex, the whole nine yards.
To me, that's like telling them it's okay to do that kind of stuff because it was okay when I did it back in the day. But, no, I mean, it's cool that he can come in and talk to you that, hey, I got hammered last night. But, I mean, that's not going to stop him from going out and doing anything. It's just going to make him more honest. But, I mean, still not okay.
Well, it's not. It is making him more honest. And that's what you want. You want him to be honest. But if you're honest with them, they'll be honest with you.
Okay.
So it's all a trust factor. And with me and my wife, if you break our trust, you're going to play hell trying to get that trust back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not just saying, okay, well, you went out and got drunk, you're grounded for a week. No, it's worse than that.
All right, let's ask Carrie. Hey, Carrie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, Bert. I just wanted to say I grew up, it was just me and my mom. And my whole life, you know, she had told me that she had smoked pot when she was younger, and she even told me that she did cocaine. And she sat me down and she said that she felt like she was having a heart attack. It was the worst experience of her life. And I, since then, have been completely honest. The first time I got drunk at a party, the next day I told her, I was like, you know, Mom, I got drunk. And I just do think that that strengthens the bond between a parent and a kid really could learn from their experiences.
Thank you.
Right.
Yeah, God, just sitting down and telling your kids all that past.
Well, maybe it depends on the, you know, how you propose it, because like she did not tell her kid it was a good thing. She didn't tell her kid that, you know, I had a great time doing it. I partied all the time.
Right.
She said, I tried it and it sucked, so I'm trying to keep you from trying it. Where, I mean, if you tell a kid, look, I enjoyed it and I enjoyed it for a long time, if you're going to be honest, and then you tell them, but you know what, don't you do it. I just can't see how that's effective.
How did your, I'm assuming everybody in here, your parents never said anything about their partying past at all?
Yeah, my parents never did, and I ended up okay. I mean, I didn't go out and get slashed, or I mean, I was a good kid, but they never told me about their past. They just told me what was right, what was wrong, what not to do, and I did that.
My parents weren't big partiers, but I saw when they did. Like I remember, because it was like they would walk down to the people they drank with, like, and partied with and hung out with were all in the neighborhood. So I would.
You saw it.
Like, I'd be playing in the front yard with the kids, and then they're hanging out around the pool.
Right.
You know.
I learned it from you.
We grew up in a tiny little town, and margarita machine was a big freaking deal. Hey, we got a margarita machine for the weekend. Come on down.
Yeah, I saw it with my parents, too. I could see it right in my house just about every couple weekends, you know. Hey, Kim, good morning. You're on The Voice Disguiser.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Good morning.
I was just calling to let you know, I have girls that are 13 and 15, and my husband and I used to have some pretty serious problems with some very serious drugs, like a little bit of meth for me, and he used to be a heroin addict. And I'm not quite as open with the girls as he is. I don't think they need to know sort of details. But the reason that we decided to tell them for a couple of reasons, from when they were young, so it wasn't a shock. First, you know, we want them to know that they can never do anything or go through anything that we haven't been through. They can't shock us. We love them no matter what.
That's a good point.
But the second thing is they need to know the depths that especially their dad came from and be so proud of him. And see how hard he had to work to get back from where he came, and that most of his friends are in jail or dead. Hmm. And they need to see that most people don't come back. And number one, they need to be proud of their father. And number two, you know, they need to learn as a negative example. You know, this is how difficult it is to build your life back up after you mess up that badly. So, you know, that was our thought process.
Yeah, most are calling now, I think, in the sort of the same situation as you, Kim, and it's a lot of recovering addicts that are calling up saying they will tell their children everything. Oh. Hey, Val, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good, thank you.
You know, I am a recovering addict, and my daughter is old enough to have seen some of it, not all of it, and I tell her everything now. I actually tell her that there was times it was fun, but I tell her also about all of the bad things that happened, as well as all of the people, the things I've seen, how horrible it is. And at this point, my daughter will never use. So she has drank, and she tells me if it's happened, but she tells her friends, not using me as an example, but tells her friends just how horrible using drugs can be. And I think it was the best thing I ever did, being honest with her about it, because it put it in reality. Yes, it can be fun, but it very often can get to a point where it's really not fun anymore.
Yeah, it's starting to make sense to me. It's starting to make sense that you would say that.
To be fully open?
To be fully open with them.
But what if they'll never see it? That's the thing that she said at the beginning. Like, if they never see... Actually, I take that back, because I think it's a trick the parents play on themselves to know that never see it.
Right.
Like, you think you're doing a fine job Saturday morning after, you know, Delvet took you out for special occasion Friday night.
Right.
But your kids know you smell like ass and you've eaten four Domino's pizzas. Like, they know there's a special reason for that.
Well, I like that other caller's advice. I'm not going to be shocked because I've seen it before.
Yeah.
I mean, it's disclosing without disclosing what you did in your past. I mean, just give a different example besides using you. Use someone else for a different example.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, but I still personally don't know about full disclosure, because I do think it just, as long as you maintain that line of I'm your parent, not your friend, then do whatever you want. I mean, open disclosure is fine, but I just think that you have run a danger in how you present it in being their friend. You're not their friend.
It's an interesting debate, but these surveys are saying, look, if you're going to choose between not telling them everything or telling them everything, go ahead and tell them everything.
This is The Bird Show.
I got to share this with you. Happened, I think, Friday on the show. Off the show. Jeff caught me talking to myself in my office.
Oh, my God. It was the weirdest thing.
It was.
Oh, that's great.
Ever, because I came around the corner and his door. And when you hear what he was talking about, Like it, I actually left the room thinking, I wonder if he should take a week off.
I thought just, this. I thought maybe I'm starting to go crazy.
Because
really?
I,
what?
A little bit.
I came around the corner, Bert. You'll have to help me because I can't remember exactly what you said, but it was.
It was like, yeah, let's do that or something like that.
I came into the corner.
Really? Mm-hmm.
And he was sitting at his desk and he's got his little Tupperware thing. And Bert, every single day, Wendy, you always hear Wendy make fun of me. Eats the same thing, same time every day.
The Tupperware kind of like the balloon boy threw up in on the Today Show.
Yeah. Same,
kind of
same idea. Okay. Yeah. And it's whatever's left over from whatever he had did dinner before, whether Stacy made or if he went out, whatever. Like some sort of programmed once robot. Every day at 10:30 in the morning, he must eat leftovers from dinner the day before. That wasn't unusual. What was unusual is him, right before putting a fork full of whatever in his mouth, he said to himself, yeah, let's go there. And I thought...
Jeff walked around the corner.
And I looked for...
And I was sort of in a panic.
I looked for the...
And if you were like, please anybody but Jeff, and it had to be Jeff.
Well, I looked for the Bluetooth. Because I figured, he's eating out of the little thing, so like maybe a Bluetooth. So one hand was on the Tupperware bowl, one hand was on the fork, so there's no phone. His speakerphone is behind him, and I got to be honest with you, I don't even think Bert knows how the office phones work. And he had no Bluetooth in, so I had to say, who are you talking to? And he's like, what he tried to...
I was
like,
in such a panic, really, the only option was honesty.
Yeah.
Oh,
I couldn't come up with anything.
And why don't you tell them what... sentence you heard in your head right before you answered it out loud.
I'll tell you what was going on in my head.
Wait a minute, brace yourself, because this
is a little loco. I got to tell you guys, it's kind of crazy. I was actually mentally in Mark's truck already on the way up to the Nashville game.
Okay.
Hold on, it gets better.
Okay.
And we were driving up to Nashville, and he was asking me if I wanted to stop at Burger King. And in my head, I said, yeah.
Let's go there?
Let's go there.
Weird, dude.
So I was having the actual, the conversation and the trip had started before the trip and the conversation.
Uh-huh. And should we send you to the same place that, like, Lindsay Lohan goes, Bert? For a little R&R?
I would probably say that if it happened on Monday after the trip, but this was before I even left. So, I really started thinking, man, I am going a little nutty, man.
It was a little weird.
I know. I talk to my dog all the time, but that's not crazy, is it?
You've crawled up in the cage with your dog and slept before.
Well, she was injured. Isn't that what most people
say?
But there was another living being in the room that you were talking to.
Yeah. I mean, she can't talk back, but...
That you were thinking, not only thinking about when we go
but
there.
But the weird thing
I can't wait till the fast food exit trip, but it's that you had a conversation with Mark in your head about it already.
But the thing that's...
The thing that's okay
was if I'm looking at my computer and an email pops up from Melissa that says... Hey, don't forget we're going to go to lunch tomorrow. I was like, oh, yeah, lunch. Like, that's
you're
a response
right.
to a physical something.
Oh,
if I'm eating my leftovers and it's like, oh, this doesn't heat up well, and I say that out loud, acceptable.
But you're like, let's
you
go there.
You were having a conversation in your head to which you responded out loud.
I was in the car. We were going to Burger King.
I'm bizarre. All that lack of sleep and the sleeping medication, I don't know.
It could be a combination of it all. I don't know. Hey, Stephen, good morning.
Become
you're
that old man who talks to himself.
Morning, everybody. I was going to let you know, Bert, it's not bad to talk to yourself. I do it all the time. But if you ever say what or huh, then you got problems.
So if you don't understand your own inner monologue, that's
The Bert Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Hey, The Bert Show.
Does she want to be on The Voice Disguiser, Jeffrey?
No need.
No need. Hey, Terry.
Hey.
I'm excited.
I'm so nervous.
Okay.
All right, you got to give us a little bit of history here about the boyfriend, because I think the knee-jerk advice is sign off.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, I'm so nervous. I'm freaking out because my computer's, like, about to die. And, like, he just like, texted me, like, IM'd me. It was like, hey there, girl, but I don't know what to say. Like, basically, I've been, like, totally into him, like,
all right, first, let's take a, like, let's take a breath. Slower down a little bit. Slower down a little
bit.
I'm sorry. I'm so nervous.
That's okay. Did you write back anything
yet? My friend
yet?
Is supposed to be helping me, and she's asleep.
So why don't you just write back, like,
hey.
Like, yeah.
Well, what's making you so nervous about it? If he's an ex-boyfriend, like...
Well, we got to hook him with something. So what's his first line?
Well, he just said, hey there, girl.
Write back,
and
hey.
Except we're missing something here. I don't know the history.
Yeah,
I don't know if you want to blow
I don't really think... I don't know that he likes me as much as... Like, I mean, okay, basically, like, my friend, like, I was obsessed with him in college, and I, like, keep thinking about him. And my friend was like, oh, you should send him an email. But, like, she thought I would be, like, you know, like, too, like, nervous and be, like, overly, you know, whatever, a little bit weird.
Well, wait a second.
Send it for me.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but you said you were obsessed with him in college. Did you date him in college?
Kind of. Like, we dated, but, like, we weren't girlfriends. Like, I guess.
So you've never been
his
girlfriend.
I guess it's, like, more, like, hooking up.
Okay.
Okay.
Sort of.
Okay. So you've never been his exclusive longtime girlfriend.
I don't want to interrupt, but my fear is he's going to disconnect.
He's signing
off.
Yeah.
You just got to write back. Just write back. Hey.
Hey. Okay.
Just something.
Hey.
Yes.
Okay.
So right now she's had no contact at all. So he hits her with an instant message,
and then there's
been
no
interaction. Okay.
Like all of a sudden he's like, I am me, but I don't have like his Facebook thing.
I thought
if I friended him, it would be weird.
So did you send something?
I did. I said, hey. He said, How's Atlanta?
How's Atlanta? Okay.
So he doesn't live here.
Where does he live at?
Oh, he lives in Minnesota.
Okay. Minnesota. Okay.
How about you say something like cold? Maybe it's as, like as
cold without you.
No,
not
just
yet.
Like
what do you mean cold without you.
No.
What if you just wrote back almost as cold as Minnesota? Because it's been cold this week.
Okay, almost as cold as Minnesota.
We're engaging him.
Oh, wrong sign. Oh no.
Wait, what?
I put the wrong abbreviation for Minnesota.
What did you put, like M-A?
M-I.
It's Michigan.
Yes, Michigan.
We'll just write Minnesota real quick and put a
just
little asterisk next to it.
Just write M-N.
Wow.
M-N.
Put a little asterisk.
M-N
jumped off the roof.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, God.
It's okay. Put M-N, like, put a little asterisk.
You know who this is now?
Okay?
Like, I didn't know.
What did he write?
So, do you know who this is?
Because you wrote Michigan and he's in Minnesota, so he's thinking, no. Okay, well,
so just write back. Just write back and say, yes, I don't know the abbreviation for Minnesota.
Yeah.
Yes, I don't know the brief for Minnesota.
There we go.
I'm really bad at spelling, too. This is a bad
And you're nervous, so you're going to spell worse.
Her hands are shaking over the keyboard.
I'm just fascinated by her reaction.
Everything just seems so huge.
It is major.
With every line.
Especially when you've had a crush.
But I'm bad at spelling.
Why don't you write back and ask him why he's up right now?
I just asked him.
Okay.
Oh, I think it's weird that he's IMing me like that early.
I thought that was random.
Randomly after a month.
I do a study of Minnesota.
Oh my God. Too many people.
Well, you guys showed up.
So nervous that my computer's going to die and then maybe like I'll never talk to him again.
Why? Okay, you're being a little dramatic here. Why would your computer all of a sudden just die? There's not a cloud in the sky. There's no storm coming through.
You know, like when you buy a new computer, sometimes like
What do you say? I heard that.
I'm in Birmingham now.
Oh, that's why.
Destiny.
I would just ask what took him there.
What are you doing in Birmingham?
B-I-R-M.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I just wrote. Oh God. Okay, I just wrote. What tool are you there? Because I hit the L.
What tool are you there?
Instead of what took you there.
Oh. I love you.
You are joking. You are in the middle of choking right now.
What tool?
She's nervous. Her hands are shaking. The K and the L.
Well,
very
correct
close
it.
Together.
Right.
You need to
just
slow it down.
Write back the word took. So.
Okay. I did.
Okay. It's only been 10
what
seconds.
What tool
it's okay.
are you there? I think that's awesome.
He's not writing back.
He's explaining.
Or he's like, I can't believe she called me a tool.
He's typing.
There it is.
There it is.
Work?
But he just said work. That's all. Like, nothing else.
Well, he's a guy.
Work, period.
All right, let's
see. Oh, he's typing again. New job, same company.
Okay.
Oh, so he moved for work.
Okay.
So this is his new residence.
Now what?
He's still typing. Close to Hotlanta.
He called it Hotlanta?
Oh, no. Hotlanta.
Tell him goodbye.
Tell him he's a tool. Close it out.
Now you can type tool. Just
no,
type.
Don't.
Okay,
no,
what was his last line?
Close to Hotlanta.
Right
the
back.
Exact same company.
Okay. Now we're getting flirty. Yes. Now we've reached the flirty stage.
Yes, he's flirting.
Right back. Nobody calls it Hotlanta.
No, don't do that. We're kidding.
What's the next line?
It's playing into him too much.
Oh,
how have you meet?
How have you meet?
Oh, well, you're met for each other.
Have you?
Maybe it's how have you been, and he put a T instead of an N.
Oh, Ben.
How have you been?
See?
Now it's back to her. Yeah. So now we need to tell her something about her.
Okay.
Tell him something about her. You need to write back, great.
Great.
I am something else. Like,
with an exclamation point?
No, question mark.
No.
Great,
exclamation point. And then tell him about something in your life that's going great.
I'm on the radio right now talking about your instant message.
No. Y'all, stop.
Like, did you just have a birthday? Did you just go on a trip? Did you just get a promotion? Something good.
Tell him you have a goatee.
Should I say, should I talk about work or should I talk about, like, vacations or something, like, fun?
What's the best thing that's happened to you in the last month?
I went to Paris.
There you go.
Yeah. Great. Just got back from Paris. Send.
Okay. Just got back from Paris.
See? This makes her interesting.
How did you spell Paris?
I spelled it right.
She put PA, so he's thinking, like, what's the big deal about going to Pennsylvania?
This is so what a girl goes through the IMs.
He's a very romantic.
Okay, we're in the flirting zone here.
He likes you.
Come on.
You could write back.
He didn't write my email back, you think, like, even though he didn't do that?
Who did you go to Paris with?
I went myself. Oh, he asked who I went with.
Yes.
Yeah.
I went to visit, like, my college roommate.
Okay. Like, so just say.
But he didn't know her because she was only there for, like, a semester.
Because what he's doing now is he's not very slyly asking if you're attached, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think you could say, solo trip. Maybe it'll be romantic next time I go or something like that.
Whoa.
That's good.
Nice. Jen,
reeling them in, girl.
Come on.
You're good at
romantic
the science stuff.
Next time, like, he didn't write back. But here's the thing, like, I guess I should have asked you this. Like, should I, like, I abbreviated. So, like, I abbreviated romantic as R-O-M. Like, should I not do that?
No, don't use abbreviations.
Are you really that busy right now that you couldn't come up with
she's
five more letters?
She's afraid that she's going
to misspell it. I'm trying to act like I don't care. Oh, he asked me what R-O-M is now.
Well, I would explain it to him.
Because he probably thought you meant Rome and spelt it wrong. Maybe it'll be Rome next time instead of romantic.
Romantic. Should I say, like, I'm busy or something?
Just write romantic.
He writes back and says, what is Rome? And you write back, I'm busy.
Just write romantic.
Oh, my God.
Send.
Sorry, romantic.
He's going to say something flirty again here. So he's already showing some interest here.
Nope.
Here he goes.
Do you keep in touch with anyone from school? Yeah.
He's scoping for boyfriends right now.
Is that what he's doing, y'all?
I just say, do you?
I mean, should I say, yeah, do you? Yeah. Okay.
You should listen to what we tell you to do.
Minimal information is good.
So really what he's doing right now is just trying to figure out if she's going
to
have anybody.
Yeah, do you.
Wait, what?
That's what you just
said.
So
you wrote, yeah, do you, and then he wrote back, yeah, do you?
Yeah.
Right, yeah, do you.
Yeah, he's fishing to see.
Doesn't she have to give him here to indicate that she's just hanging out with, like, her girlfriends, but there's no boyfriend?
No.
Nothing.
Not right now?
But I mean, like...
I'm out of my league on this one. This is past when I met Stacey, so you guys are on your own.
I think you need to figure out what the next step is. Is he going to call you? Is he going to become your friend on Facebook? Is he going to come and visit you? Like, we need to steer it in that direction.
Or you can be I keep up with a lot of my friends.
Facebook account.
You can say, I keep up with a lot of my friends on Facebook.
Perfect, Wendy. Perfect.
Nailed it.
Nice, Wendy.
You guys are a deadly combination
right now.
Good. Very impressed.
Then she asked me if you're on Facebook. Are you on?
No, I was going to say that.
Okay. And spell out Facebook. Don't put FB.
I know. I actually did put FB, but then I deleted it and wrote it out.
Of course you did.
Good job.
Have you ever been to Birmingham? Don't know anything about this podunk place.
Oh. Now he's lonely.
Have you ever been to Birmingham?
Is it?
No.
I think that you just say back no. Because I think if you guys are going to see each other, he's going to come here and see you.
Okay.
You can't chase that tail.
So, no.
Look at how proud Jen is.
She is. You're on a roll right now.
See, I would have said opposite. I would have said the opposite. I would have said, no, I would love to come see the podunk town.
No. Mm-mm. Just say no.
See, that's
you get a little too aggressive there. Can I come now? Is what you drive. You're in Birmingham? Can I get on the road right now?
Actually, I'm in my car right now. Funny. Here I come.
Yeah, actually, I'm on my laptop right outside your door.
Oh, he put a sad face.
What was the sad face response to?
He's already
never been to Birmingham.
Don't know anything about this put on place. I said no.
Okay, right. Have you ever been to Atlanta?
That's good.
You're good at this, dude.
Flip it.
You are good.
Flip the script.
Dude, look. A chest bump.
It's like a crossword puzzle. Just figure it out.
I'm never good at crosswords. Maybe that's why I suck at this. They're always challenging.
Tiffany, virtual listener Tiffany, thinks that you should tell him something like, what a pleasant surprise at 7:30 in the morning.
No.
You're not a fan of that.
Yeah, for work often.
Wait, what did he say? What? For work often he comes to Atlanta?
Yeah.
Booyah.
Oh,
all right.
Nice.
Now what?
Where are you working?
He asked you that?
Mm-hmm.
Just give him a neighborhood.
Tell him the pony.
Or a company, not both.
Straight pony.
Okay. I actually told him where I like the company.
The company you work for.
Okay. And his response?
He said, doing what?
Doing what?
With that much anger?
No, he said nice. Doing what?
Okay. How's the computer holding up and the battery or whatever?
Well, I think you can write back whatever it is you do. Retail, marketing, advertising.
What do you do?
Whatever.
I write like reviews of restaurants.
Okay. So writing.
That's cool.
Ever been to the Flying Biscuit?
Yeah. he's so dreamy.
Dreamy? He from 1950?
No, he's like just so dreamy.
What did he say?
What did he write back?
Need to get ready for another day at the office. Talk again. He didn't say anything about the restaurant.
That's fine. He's going to work. Just be like, cool.
Cool. Okay.
That's
he has your email address or whatever?
I sent him an email like a month ago.
But he has our IM.
Yeah, you realize you're not going to sign off from IM for 4 months right now.
So you think she should err just on the side of being sort of aloof now and go, okay, great, have a great day or something like that. Have a great day. Good talking to you. Can she say that? Good talking to you?
Just be like,
thanks for catching up.
Nice hearing from you.
Cool. Yeah. Nice to hear from you.
Hearing from you. And I wrote out YOU, right?
Yes.
We are adults.
Good Lord.
Don't be a stranger.
Okay.
Bye.
Leave it. Do not write back.
Stop.
Right now. Close it out. Go back. Close it.
No. That's goodbye.
It.
No.
Close
nothing.
It.
Close it.
Okay.
He ended it.
No. He has to be the last one to contact you. Period.
Close it.
Really?
Do not be the last one to respond.
Close it.
Okay.
Don't follow your heart. Follow our advice.
Close it.
Close it. Really?
Yes. Close it.
Yes.
How many times?
Okay.
We'll save the conversation.
Close.
And then close.
All right.
You won.
Good work.
Okay. Now.
You won that
good
round.
Job, everybody.
Good job, Jenny. Woo!
Okay. So the point behind just closing it out, and what's the whole strategy behind not being the last one?
Do you
to
want
say?
Him leave him hanging and wanting more?
Mm-hmm.
Because you always talk about how men can sniff out desperate girls.
Absolutely.
And you try to come on too strong, guys can sniff that out. And so Jen and Wendy steered her into not being desperate.
Well played, then. Well played, team. Well played. Chest bumps.
Good job.
All the way around.
Good job.
Feel that right here.
Don't go say, what is those bruises on your chest?
Terry, you feel okay about that?
I am. I'm just like a little nervous that like maybe he won't think I like him.
That's exactly where you want him to be, mm-hmm. right?
Okay, right?
Yes.
But won't he be afraid to ask me out?
You got him chasing you now.
The contact has been established. Like, this was just, I mean, how long did this take? 10 minutes? 15
mm-hmm.
minutes?
Mm-hmm.
The contact was established. A friendly banter.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of details you know about where Birmingham, right? That's where he lives. You know that he works in an office. That's enough. So a week from now, you see him online, you can shoot him a message that says, ready for another day at the office or something like that. But just let it simmer for a while.
Well, it goes back to what Jen always says, is men like to chase, let him chase. Let him wonder. Let him now figure this out.
This is the time where you sign up for the laser hair treatments.
What? Where did that come from?
And then you just let that, you know, that'll give you a few months to take care of all that. And then by the time you're...
No, he'll be in touch again.
Now, are you on the computer every day at the same time, this, like right around now?
Yeah, like pretty much like I work from my house, so like I'm like on it all day.
So I wonder if he's going to end up online pretty much with the same routine also, and he hits you tomorrow, whatever.
That's okay, cool. So that's exciting.
Sure, that is exciting.
That's a good start.
I don't know why that was bizarrely fun.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Keep in touch with you every IM, like in the morning.
So if he hits you again tomorrow, yeah, we'll give you a special number to call and just give us a call.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Good,
you're
good
welcome.
Job. Good job.
Nice job, people.
Good job, team.
Teamwork.
Get it? The Bird Show.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Bert to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Bert. Forhers.com/Bert. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
It's the Bert Show.
So we had the talk yesterday about, you know, ask another race, and we had questions go back and forth, and mainly between black people and white people on different things that they do. Well, I realized over the weekend, before we had that conversation, that there is something I'm going to do from now on that is completely outside my race, and I'm a white woman, and I, as no. if you couldn't tell from the way I sing, but one of the things I'm going to do is I'm always from now on going to go to watch horror movies where there is a predominantly black audience. And the reason I say that is because Katie and I went to go see Stepfather on Saturday night because it's Halloween season. I'm like, it's time to go see a scary movie. So let's go see Stepfather. And we ended up at the Fork and Screen in Buckhead on Saturday night. And when we got in and we sat down and I looked around and I realized that the majority of the people in the audience was black, I was excited. Because I know from my black friends who even do this when we're sitting on my couch watching television, that they're very vocal about what they see on the screen.
Right.
Okay. So, and I think, I mean, that may be a stereotype for black people, but it's one that I love and one that I was glad I was a part of. And that made the experience so much better.
Really?
Because, I mean, just for instance, now Stepfather on a whole is a horror movie, not a great horror movie because too much build up, not a ton of payoff, but they've left it open for a sequel. So hopefully the sequel will be better. I would go see the sequel, but I mean, like for instance, there's always a basement in a horror movie, mm-hmm. you know,
of
a dark
course.
Basement.
Someone's going to walk down.
Somebody's going to walk down
right.
it
of course.
And leave it to my sisters and brothers in the audience to let the person know, don't go down those stairs, you know, and they'll, I mean, in your mind, you're saying it, but they're, don't you go down those stairs. And I was like, I am in heaven right now. So Katie and I have decided that, and I mean, and the laughter and then the screaming and then the laughter again. So I will never go with a white audience to see a horror movie ever again.
Movies are an interactive experience.
Absolutely. Especially a horror movie. I have to go.
That's awesome.
I have to go with a black audience to a horror movie.
It's the other way around. My friend Dolvette ended up over at the U2 concert a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was 4 black people at the U2 concert. and he came back into the gym the next day and he's like, why don't white people dance? Y'all sit in your chairs the entire concert and nobody gets up and nobody has a good time. He's like, I wanted to sort of dance in the aisles, but Nobody was doing it.
That is such a white person show. I have a girlfriend who works downtown, and she didn't know what was going on that day. So she got out of her office and was going to her parking garage. She's like, what are all these white people doing down here? She's like, "What? This is so strange. What is happening down here?
Why are like, being invaded by the whites?"
She's like, it kind of looked like a Dave Matthews crowd, but different. And I couldn't figure out why they were swarming downtown.
I would love to take calls from our black listeners that would tell us what is the whitest event that they've ever gone to, and the other way also.
Okay.
All right, because you generally won't see a whole bunch of black people at a Dave Matthews show. You won't.
Probably not.
And you won't see a whole bunch of black people at a U2 show, probably. But it can go the other way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are we bordering on racism here?
I don't think so. I mean, no, I don't think so. And I also would like to learn from the black audience, like if there is something white that you purposely go because it's a white event. Like I said, I will never sit. Sorry, white people. You're not fun in a horror show, but black people are. So, I mean, I am curious if there's something a black person says, you know what, I want to do this because there's more white people there.
Here comes intern Natalie to go, the whitest person anything I do is the Burt Show every day.
I come into work every morning.
200.
Natalie, I can't find your app music here.
Don't use that often.
Isn't it Dave Matthews crashing to me?
I don't know. You want to borrow? You want to borrow Rushmus?
That'll work.
I can't find it here.
That was because I'm black. Natalie. What? You can't find my music?
What you got?
Good morning. The last all-white event that I went to, and only because I had to, because I was working the promotions event, and it was an OAR concert. And it was me, Brian, and Brandon, the other black employees at Q100. There's few and far between. And to give away the prizes, we were like, what do you know about Q100? You know, tell me something about Q100. Tell me somebody on the Burt Show. And one of the ladies was like, you know, I don't know anybody on the Burt Show. I was like, okay, well, Burt. I was like, okay.
She doesn't. Yeah, that's thinning of the herd right there. You should have just thrown a prize into traffic.
I was trying to help her out.
You should have taken the Q100 free shirt and thrown it right over the edge of a cliff. She would have chased after it.
So I asked her, you know, tell me something else you know about Q100. And she's like, yeah, you're that hip hop, you know, R&B station. And I'm just like, okay, because we're all black people, we have to be hip hop and R&B. Like, we're playing the music. We have like Kobe Calais and Rob Thomas. And she was like, I just gave her a t-shirt.
I'm sorry.
That's the poor Lil Fang t-shirt.
No,
bless your heart t-shirt.
Bless your heart t-shirt. Oh, OAR.
Hey, Erica, O-A-R. Good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, I'm black. My husband's white. And the whitest thing I've ever gone to was the Paul McCartney concert.
Paul McCartney.
I think I can count maybe like two other black people. And the whole time I'm sitting there like, I know some of these songs, but I really don't know the songs. And it's so true. Nobody dances. Everybody just sits there. And look, it is just the craziest thing ever.
2 years ago, Dolvet and I were invited to go down to the Masters with our friend Justin. And it is a sea of white people at the Masters. And there was one other black guy way like on the other part of the fairway.
Tiger Woods.
It wasn't Tiger. This was a spectator.
Okay.
And Dolvet sprinted to the guy, and you would think that they were best friends, but they were not. The way they greeted each other, it was like best friends.
It's like when you're traveling in Europe and you meet another American. You're like,
hey! We're best friends. Hi.
Where are you from? Richmond, Virginia. I live right near there in Atlanta.
Leslie, good morning.
Good morning.
We are looking for the whitest events black people have gone to and the blackest events white people have gone to.
Okay. I want to say the whitest event I have ever gone to was a tractor pull / rodeo show in Kentucky.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
That's pretty white.
Yeah.
Glad that worked out for you. Looking at the tractors.
Yeah, bordering on red.
Yeah. Good morning,
it's a special kind of white.
JT, you're on Q100.
Hey, good morning.
Hey.
Several years ago, I won tickets to a Elton John concert.
Yeah. Uh-huh. That'd be white.
Yeah, it was. And let's just say I was also one of the few heterosexual males there. So no phone numbers were exchanged any time that night, and very little eye contact.
Very little eye contact. I didn't look at them. It was filled with white gaze. I didn't look at them. I didn't touch them. I got my head down and I mind my own black heterosexual business.
Years ago, I went to the En Vogue Luther Vandross concert up in Washington, D.C. There's like two white people in the entire place.
When I was in college, I went to the Fugees concert, and I went to college at Florida State, which is right next to FAMU, and it was on FAMU's campus. And so, yeah, me and my boyfriend at the time, we were the whitest people there. For sure.
Yeah, I accidentally got stuck in Freaknik here in Atlanta one time. I was hanging out one night with two of my black coworkers, and they were taking me back to my car, and we all forgot it was Freaknik. So they were in traffic, and everybody thought that in their cars that they were part of Freaknik. So everybody's, woo! And then they were like, what's a white girl down in the car? I'm like, hey, Freaknik, woo!
Good morning, Michelle. You are on Q100.
Yes, hi. My guilty pleasure is going to a wedding and doing the chicken dance. I love it. I would never do that at a black wedding, but I love it.
He had a white wedding.
Fantastic.
Dina, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I went to a Billy Ray Cyrus concert up at Stone Mountain Park.
Wow. And how many black people were at that concert?
I really think I was the only one.
Here, Bird Show.